Hello and welcome to The Motivation Mindset. This is Risa Williams. I am a therapist and book author here in Los Angeles, and this is a podcast about getting things done without all the stress. And before we get started, I'd like to announce that somebody won our double book giveaway on Instagram, and I'll have Erica tell you about it.
This is Erica, and I wanted to congratulate Jessica Sosa from Selma, California, for winning our double book giveaway. Jessica, you'll be receiving my newest book, Working with Anger Creatively, and Risa's latest book, The Ultimate Self-Esteem Toolkit. Enjoy.
Thank you so much to everyone who participated. It was so great to see so many people leaving comments about the last episode on email anxiety. So here's another episode about getting things done without all the stress. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Motivation Mindset. I'm here today again with Ryan Muldoon, who is an influencer, a comedian, and a soon-to-be therapist. Welcome, Ryan, to the show.
Thank you, Risa. Thanks for having me back.
So we're doing another episode of the ADHD Toolkit, and this episode is about spring cleaning, and it's just now the right time for that. Lots of people are getting rid of stuff. Lots of people are going through old stuff and wanting organization tips. But in this episode, we're going to talk about what it's like for people with ADHD to organize and clean. Everyone who has ADHD is different. And I think one thing Ryan and I both share is we've learned with our own brains that it's easier for us to be minimalistic in our approach to stuff. So Ryan, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely minimalistic is a good fit for me. I was just telling you before we started recording that I think of my ADHD brain as a cluttered room.
Yeah.
Clutter within my mind can easily appear. And the clutter is my thoughts. When I'm on top of my game with self-care, basically with self-care, I'm able to gracefully maneuver around the clutter. Other times I bump into thoughts. And like I'll you know, just get derailed. The same is with the physical world for me.
So the less stuff you have, the less you're crashing into it is what you're saying.
The less chance of crashing into it. Yeah.
And one thing I've noticed with a lot of people I work with who have ADHD is they're very sensitive to stuff, you know, just seeing stuff in piles around or noticing too much clutter in a room can be overstimulating when you have a very busy brain and you're already sensitive. So another problem is with task initiation. So for those of you who don't know, ADHD impairs our executive function because for us, there doesn't feel to be a natural reward built in. Like I put that pile of clothes away. I did it. I'm good, right? We don't really connect often with that emotion. So sometimes the work I do with people is kind of training them to feel that. Whereas I think people who don't struggle with ADHD might feel that more naturally. Like it just occurs to them. I cleaned off the kitchen counter. I feel great. I'm done. Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us aren't getting that boost, that reward feeling after we're doing it. So therefore, we have to talk ourselves into doing it more.
I can think of experiences where other people have told me like, oh, I love finishing, you know, cleaning the kitchen. It's just so satisfying. When I look at it, it's all clean. Oh, it's great.
You don't necessarily feel that yourself sometimes. So that's the hard part. A lot of people I work with feel very unmotivated to do cleaning tasks because they're not feeling the reward. And it's also the repetition of just having to do it all the time. It feels too much the same. And we're having trouble sometimes engaging our own interest in something that feels that monotonous.
Oh, yeah. With dishes, definitely. My apartment doesn't have a dishwasher. I live alone and I'm a minimalist to a degree. So I don't have a lot of dishes, but I don't want to clean them.
Right. And so how do you motivate yourself to get through it?
When I'm on my game with self-care and, you know, my brain is not so cluttered, I do the dishes right after I use them. And that is the key to happiness.
Right.
In regards to dishes, but I often don't do it. I just put it off until later.
Well, something you're saying is true, I think, for a lot of people with ADHD, that when you're on your feet and you're grouping the cleaning or the organizing with something you already just did, it's easier to do it rather than if you wait and you're sitting there and you're watching TV and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I got to get up and clean the dishes. The motivation starts to sink rapidly. Like any motivation you had when you were up and about, like walking your plate to the sink and then washing it, is easier than sitting down and having that sinking feeling of motivation decreasing rapidly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a body in motion stays in motion.
Exactly. So I do something with that where, like, if I have to go out to take the kids to school, and then I know I have to do something when I get home, like cleaning wise, like empty the dryer or something like this, I stay in motion. So I come in and I do it right away, because I know if I go sit down or start going on my phone or computer, my motivation to do it will be very, very low. And it just keeps getting lower the longer I wait. So that might be a tip for people listening. Stay in motion. You know, for the things that are hard for you to do, where there is no intrinsic reward feeling to doing it, because you just don't feel like it's fun or you feel like it's monotonous, try to time it so you're doing those things when you're already moving.
Does make sense. Now, how do we reward ourselves?
Yeah.
Other people, it happens naturally. Risa, how do we do it?
I use a lot of delayed gratification. I do use a lot of little treats, but I think sometimes we can overdo it with that. We need to save the treats for the most, you know, high intensity level tasks. So I do delayed gratification in that if there's a show I want to watch or a website I want to check out, or I want to just sit there and scroll on my phone, I tell myself, you can't do it until you do X, right? And X is usually like a simple household task that for me does not feel fun. So I have to trick my brain and say, you know, you want to sit down and watch that episode of the show, you have to run the dishwasher, or you have to empty the dryer first.
So I don't think I really insert rewards throughout my day.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, it's possible you've built in steady routines. So that's another recommendation for people for whom rewards do not motivate them that much, especially to do monotonous tasks. Yeah. The trick would be to train your brain so there's a routine. Like every night after I eat dinner, I immediately wash the dishes. And then every morning I, you know, put the laundry in the machine and run it, so that you're doing things at the exact same time each day. And eventually it becomes like an autopilot thing where you're not fighting the motivation problem.
Yes, definitely. I can relate to that. I function best when, like I talked about this, like on Mondays, that's my day to get groceries.
Yeah.
And that's just what I do every Monday. And I don't have to, it relieves me of some decision fatigue. You coined that term, I believe. Routines absolutely
really help. Yeah. And just naming it to our brain, like Monday's errand day, or Fridays is laundry day, I think that helps us. It's like Taco Tuesdays, but with chores. You know what I mean? So we know what's coming up for us.
I like that analogy, Taco Tuesdays.
Taco Tuesday. So I think why cleaning is so difficult sometimes for people with ADHD is also a lot of what we faced as kids. So a lot of the time, people who grew up with ADHD, you know, sometimes their parents were coming down really hard on them to stay organized, to put everything away. Why is this on the floor? And there was always a feeling with a lot of people of deficiency, like I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it fast enough. And so then maybe there's a feeling like I might as well just give up and not do this, because every time I try to clean, it's sloppy or wrong. Did you face any of that growing up?
Yeah, definitely. And mostly with my best friend's mom. Yeah, I would go over his house and his family was just extremely organized. And he, my friend, I'm still friends with him. He is just so organized.
Yeah.
Astonishing. And when I would go over his house as a little kid, his mom would shame me. And every time you come here, we go on a wild goose chase for your hat or your inhaler. I have asthma, very minor now, but it was worse as a kid. And I would constantly lose my inhaler. It was bulky in my pocket and uncomfortable. So yeah, I felt stupid.
Yeah.
At my friend's house.
And he felt shame probably too, going over there. Like, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to screw it up. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because when we get nervous about that particular thing at a particular place, sometimes it's more likely to keep happening because we're so anxious about it.
Yeah. Expectations influence you know, the results of things for sure.
Right. So I think it's important now as grownups to kind of look at the self-talk we have around cleaning and organizing and see where it's at. You know, we possibly might be beating ourselves up a lot, which also decreases our motivation. So here's a thing that we don't want to do already because it doesn't seem fun or interesting. And we add a layer of negative self-talk to it, which is you're especially bad at this and you don't ever do it right, or you're going to mess it up, or it's going to get messy in 2 seconds. If we're talking like that to ourselves as we're already battling our own motivation, now there's really no reward for doing it at all.
Yeah. I recently had a thought. This was like a negative self-talk kind of out of nowhere. And it was when I was doing laundry. So it came from there. I thought to myself, my life is in shambles.
That's a dark thought to think while you're just doing laundry.
I know. And then I noticed it and I was like, whoa, that's strange. And then I thought, like CBT, like, where's the evidence of that? It's like, there is none. I'm actually doing very well.
Yeah.
So
it just randomly occurred to you from laundry being the trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how cleaning and organizing really stirs up people's inner critics. I hear a lot about that, especially when people are trying to get on top of clutter. There's so much negative self-talk going on usually. Like, why did I keep all these papers? Why can't I find anything? Why don't I use the filing cabinet instead of piling the papers up here? You know, people beat themselves up as they're doing it, which is kind of the opposite of what they need to be doing with their self-talk, with something that feels hard for them to do. So it would be like yelling at a little kid who's already struggling to like fold their clothes and put them in the drawer. You know, why are you doing that? You wouldn't do that to a little kid. You'd say, okay, take it one thing. Oh, good job. You did it. Now close the drawer and you're done. And hopefully you'd be talking to little kids in a nice, kinder, soothing voice. And we don't do that to ourselves a lot. We go right into like cracking the whip and beating ourselves up and listing all the other times we've messed up, you know, as we're trying to do the laundry.
Yes, definitely. I do think of my friend's mom.
She got in your head somewhere.
Yeah. And reflecting back on it as an adult now, that wasn't cool of her.
I mean, what's the point of pointing this out to a kid who's already freaked out because he can't find his inhaler? You know?
Yeah.
What's he going to do about it? He already lost it.
The issue was, with her. She couldn't regulate herself.
Right. So what's some advice we could give to people who are living with people with ADHD to be a little bit more understanding about what they're going through when you see them struggling to clean or get motivated to finish an organizational task? What is some advice we could give to people?
I can tell you from my perspective, a person with ADHD, I have a friend who is executive functioning, not great. And oftentimes I'll see his room and there's clothes everywhere. And he'll be like, I'm going to clean soon. You feel shame.
Right.
And I'll say like, oh man, I can relate. I can relate. It's like my room is like this often, even though it's not.
Well, so you just try to empathize.
Empathy, and I guess people without ADHD living with a person with ADHD, try to practice patience, I suppose.
Yeah, I think my advice would be praise them when you do see them motivating themselves the one time to do the dishes. Praise them when you do see them walking to empty the dryer. We often don't do that. And then we beat someone up and criticize them verbally when they're not doing it, when they're just sitting there. You know, why aren't you doing that? Why don't you get up, right? We need to do the opposite of that and just heap the praise on people when you see them motivating themselves. It's like what you would do with a kid. If you see them avoiding their homework and you're just yelling at them about avoiding the homework, it kind of just creates this loop where they just keep doing it. But if they take a pencil out and they're trying really hard to concentrate, that's the time to heap the praise on. And you'll see them light up and be like, oh, there's a little bit of reward for doing this, because they don't feel like there is a reward. And criticizing them is only making that problem so much worse now.
Yeah. And I've read about, you know, our culture and how we reward the very end result. Like if you win the game, well, I'll say baseball. If you win a baseball game, you celebrate. Yes, we did it.
Right.
And oftentimes, like, parents won't celebrate the practice
And that's when you need the encouragement, especially if you don't have the confidence that you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've tried doing that with my nieces and nephews. My nieces are competitive skiers. And they're like really good. So I've experimented with praising them for the practice because they'll win a race. And I'll be like, wow, you put in so much work. That
yeah.
Awesome. Like all the practice you did. So great.
Yeah, because it's kind of telling them to keep going. Like the small steps added up to something. And most people need encouragement for the small steps. They don't really need that much encouragement when they win because they're already getting a big boost of feeling great about themselves at that point. All those frustrating little steps where they're hitting hurdles and their own motivation problems and their own frustration, that's when people need pats on the back. So I guess what I'm saying with spring cleaning is people often think it's so easy and like people with ADHD are just lazy and unmotivated and why can't they do it? But we need to look at it. These tasks can be hard for people. If you see somebody struggling with cleaning and organizing, really heap the praise on them when you see them taking an initiative to change that, to take that little step forward, and then see how that praise might help them find their own way of talking to themselves in a nicer way. Because often where people are getting stuck is because they're beating themselves up, is because they lack the confidence to feel like they can handle it and do it regularly in an efficient way.
Yeah. I remember I was a teenager. There was one particular time, my dad was on the couch. I was at the sink. Our kitchen was like connected to a living area. And I cleaned a dish and I put it in the dishwasher. And my dad was like, "Right, do you realize what you just did?" And I was like, "Huh? What?" He's like, "You cleaned that dish and then put it in the dishwasher." rinsed the dish, put it in the dish.
Yeah.
Which normally I would rinse the dish and just put it down in the sink.
Right. So that's another thing we can talk about too is, a lot of times what's happening for us with ADHD is we're not really thinking about what is actual done versus half done. And this is something I teach my own kids, because sometimes we think half done with a task is full done. And this really applies to cleaning and organizing, right? Like I will see the kids carrying their laundry to their room and then they will drop it on the floor in front of the drawers they have to put it in. And then I go in 2 hours later and the clothes are still on the floor. And they're like, yeah, I'm getting around to it. I'm like, yeah, but that's not full done. Like, don't you want to be fully done with this? You don't want mom to come in 2 hours later and tell you to do it again, right? So we need to program that in for ourselves. Often as adults, we have this notion of, oh, it's mostly done. But what is full done with the task? And that's, you got to walk it forward a few steps, because with something like laundry, there are many steps to that. And the full done is when it's actually in the closet. But our brains want to give up because we're already tired and annoyed with having to do it, that we don't want to complete it. And therefore, we're robbing ourselves of like relaxing and feeling done. And then it's just hanging over your head all night while you're watching TV. Oh, I still got to put the clothes in the closet.
I heard Will Ferrell on a podcast. And Will Ferrell said how his teenagers he'll say like, "Hey guys, take out the trash," and they will take the trash out of the bin, you know, tie it, and then just put it by the door.
Yeah,
to the trash, and he's just like, "It's a two-step process." It's insane.
Yeah, but that's a good example of like some people will have the map of the full process in their head, and it will naturally occur to them it's not done until the thing goes. And other people are like, "Yeah, it's mostly done now. People will stay off my back." But that's kind of the problem. So call yourself out on that if you're doing that. If you're often catching yourself losing motivation halfway through tasks and leaving things half finished, maybe it would take a little bit of just sitting there and thinking, "What's fully done?" And if I get to fully done, then I can enjoy myself. You know, then that's a reward.
And one thing I just thought about, this is an issue I bump into while I'm cleaning sometimes and decluttering. Like I will organize my little office area and some issues will reveal themselves. And I'll think, "Oh, I should get a filing cabinet," or, "Oh, I need printer ink because I looked at my printer."
Yeah. And then you get distracted. You go on Amazon and you search for printer ink.
Exactly.
You know, and then your desk doesn't get clean or whatever. So in my new book, The Procrastination Playbook, I have a term for that. It's called halfway drift, where people just drift off halfway. And then they start accidentally procrastinating, finishing the main thing, because now they're on a side quest. And then they go on another side quest because whatever, you know, it just keeps happening.
Yeah, it happened to me this morning. I didn't sleep very well last night. Also, I was listening to a song I've been writing through sprees of writing music as a hobby. So I had the instrumental track of my song playing in my headphones, and I was, you know, writing melodies as I'm doing stuff, and I'm making my coffee. It's done. Yeah, I start drinking it, and I did notice it tasted weak and weird. Then I was like, what's going on here? And I hadn't put coffee grinds into the coffee maker. So it was just like,
you were just drinking weird water?
Yeah.
With just, old coffee?
Yeah, in just it? Remnants of coffee, dirty water. Because if I am writing a song in my head,
yeah,
I cannot do anything else.
You were too distracted. It was too hard to multitask.
Yeah. I was making oatmeal. That was difficult.
I think we've all been there. We're just mentally, all our energy is focusing on one thing, and our body is trying to go on autopilot and do the other thing, but completely ineffectively. And then we have to redo it all.
Yep. And then we drink dirty water.
And there's no reward, no caffeine boost at all. Posted a meme about a month ago about ADHD and how when we have ADHD, we become like human Roombas, which is the idea of you're going about one task and then you do 10 other tasks just on the way to finish the one task. You just get distracted like a Roomba. I know that happens to me sometimes, especially when I'm mentally distracted. And I'm in a sort of hyper mode where I think I'm efficient because I'm doing so much, but I'm not looking at what the end goal was to begin with. And the end goal was only to do the laundry, not to do every other little tiny thing that needed fixing up in the house.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that helps me with spring cleaning is divvying up the tasks just room by room.
Yeah.
I'm going to clean my bedroom right now and only that.
Right.
Then comes the bathroom. And I might walk into the bathroom beforehand. I'll want to start cleaning the bathroom, but I say, no, I'm cleaning my room.
Yeah. Because again, we're talking about task prioritization. And the more stressed out you get, the harder it is to prioritize. So that's when you turn into human Roomba, because you're already so stressed out and there's so many problems and your brain cannot order which problem to tackle next. And it wants to jump around because it thinks it's being hyper efficient, but it's actually slowing you down and you become way less efficient as a result. Yeah. So I like your idea of location-based cleaning. You know, just pick a location. You don't even have to pick a whole room. You could just pick a corner of the room if it's very overwhelming for you and start there. Or you could do timer-based cleaning, which a lot of people use successfully because it makes it more like a game. So you put on 15 or 20 minutes of music, or you put a timer on and you say, I'm just going to pick up everything off the floor for 15 minutes. You've created a reward because you got to the end of the small amount of time. This works really great for kids because kids will often be completely unmotivated to pick anything off the floor. Unless you say, okay, it's a game, 30 seconds, who can pick the most stuff up? Suddenly it's fun and they're competing with their brother to do the most amount of cleaning possible. So these are just little tricks if you're having trouble feeling motivated to break it down into bite-sized chunks so you don't end up in human Roomba mode with cleaning and organizing.
Yeah, that reminds me of I used to babysit a kid, kind of a family friend. And he was, I'll say, 6 or 7 at the time. And he came to me to my band practice. I was in a band with some friends. And we had to load a car up with our equipment. We had a gig, I don't know, later that night. And his name is Sam. And I told him, like, hey, Sam. I was like, I bet you can't lift this. Like, we had the relationship where I could kind of like mess with him. It's like, I bet you're not strong enough to lift it. Like, well, yeah, I can.
Then it's a challenge. Now it's a game.
Yeah. Maybe not good for everybody, but I had a relationship with him where I could, you know, do that. And like, I bet you can't lift this and put it in the car.
Yeah. And suddenly they're just loading the car up. Yeah. So anything you can do to trick your brain into thinking it's interesting, fun, or for a very short specific time period, all these things will help you feel more motivated when you're dreading cleaning or you're dreading getting organized. Thank you so much, Ryan, for all the tips you shared today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And take care. And good luck spring cleaning out there, everyone. Thanks for listening.
If you're enjoying tools discussed on the show, please visit risawilliams.com. There you can learn more about my wonderful guests, upcoming episodes, my books and planners, and classes and workshops. You can also follow me on Instagram at risawilliamstherapy for free giveaways and discounts. I'm Risa Williams, and we're out of time. Thanks for listening.